Well, this morning, as we take a Sunday to look at Christmas and prepare for Christmas, I ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke, to chapter 1, to verse 26. We're going to be looking at part of Luke chapter 1 and then a portion of Luke chapter 2 this morning. And I'd like for us to look this morning at how it is that different people and angelic beings responded to Christmas, both prior to Christmas and after Christ's birth. How did they respond? What was it that went through the minds of the angels, or John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Mary, looking and seeing how it is that we should respond? The title of this morning's message is a long one, a little bit, but the title is Fear Not, Stand in Awe, Rejoice, and Worship. Fear not, stand in awe, rejoice, and worship. If that is what we leave here this morning with, if we leave this morning with the same response, the same reaction that these people that are here in Luke chapter 1 and 2 responded with, by fearing not, standing in awe, rejoicing, and worshiping, this would be an absolutely incredible Christmas for us. When someone says to you, how was your Christmas? Did you have a nice Christmas? The thoughts won't be coming to your mind as far as what gifts did I get? Or how much fun did I have? But the thoughts, hopefully, that would come to your mind as we think about these things this morning is, I have nothing to fear. And I stand in awe of Him. I rejoiced. My heart was just overflowing with joy in Christ. And it was a Christmas of worshiping. What an incredible Christmas that will be if the next few days are spent with that on our minds. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we see the beginning of this Christmas story and this painting of what God is doing. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. A little over 2,000 years ago, there's this young, most likely a teenage girl, who's engaged with a simple carpenter named Joseph. She's a virgin from the lineage of King David. Yet in her humility, she sees herself as lowly. And it's at this time that God, who is rich in mercy, chooses this young girl to pour His grace upon. The most incredible, extraordinary event the universe has ever seen is on the horizon. And this is what's taking place. It's amazing when you think about it, because it wasn't some kind of princess, and it wasn't someone that was you know, older in her years. This is just a young little girl. More likely, as I said, a teenager. And she's there, and this angel appears to her and says to her in verse 28, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The first word out of the angel's mouth to Mary is rejoice. You got to picture the angels watched all these things take place from creation, looking and seeing all that has occurred, rejoicing in heaven at the incredible power of God in creation, singing for joy. And now, after seeing all of the sin and the turning away from God and the prophets that had come and the killing of the prophets that occurred and all that has taken place in history, this moment has come where this angel has this glorious opportunity to tell Mary what is about to happen, and the first word to come out of his mouth is rejoice. This is something that should cause so much joy within our hearts because of what God is about to do. She's a highly favored one. The Lord is with her. And he says, blessed are you among women. Christmas is not simply a holiday for us. It's a fountain of joy that causes our hearts to overflow with exuberant and expressible joy. I could picture the angel looking at the frightened face of this young girl. You could imagine that. She hasn't seen anything like this ever before. And with a smile on his face, he's saying, if you knew what God was going to do, if I could in some way show you the magnitude of the extent of God's grace, you would not be able to contain yourself with the incomparable joy that comes from the goodness and grace of the Lord. You're a highly favored one. The Lord's with you. You're blessed. And along with Mary, we look and we see that we're also highly favored here this morning. And that God specifically poured his loving grace upon us. Think about that. Rejoice, O highly favored one. And God would say the same thing to us. Rejoice, O highly favored one. God's with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We're blessed. We're blessed with, Scripture tells us, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We sit here this morning knowing not only what was going to come from the birth of Christ, but what was going to come from his death and his resurrection and from his ascension. And it ought to cause in us an incredible amount of joy this morning. In verse 29, it says, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Now, the angel saw fear upon her face. And so his response is, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Fear not." How sweet those words were for Mary and for us. The only people on earth who ought to be free from fear and trepidation are those who have found favor with God. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. What a position for us this morning. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because you found favor with God. You have favor with him. It's something for us as people where there's a tendency to be afraid. Afraid of what's going to happen. Afraid of what might take place with our health or what might take place in the future. With having a little baby now for us. Man, we're reading all these books. What to expect when you're expecting, what to expect in the first year, what to expect, in college. We're looking and going through and just, Dr. Bev, he's breathing so quickly, it seems like he can't get a full breath of air. No, that's normal, Picture his lungs, they're real small. Okay, that's good. Okay, he's crying too much, or he's not sleeping through the night, or where should he sleep, or what should he do, or we mean bad parents, or, is he going to turn out like me? Is it going to be bad? What's going to happen? And it's neat to be able to know that God has placed us in a position where we don't have to be afraid. We're in a place where God has found favor with us. Fear not. We began with rejoice. We look now and we see the angel saying, "Fear not." For you this morning, no one can separate you from the love of Christ. It's God who called you. Fear not. It is God who's forgiven you and placed his righteousness upon you. Fear not, for who could bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies you. Fear not, if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Fear not, he sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. Fear not, he loves us with an everlasting love, and you and I have found favor with him. In verse 31, it says, "And behold, the angel says, 'You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Can you see the angel standing in awe of God? The angel watching all that is taking place. the blessing of being the one angel that gets to go and proclaim this message that we would read this morning, to proclaim the message that Mary would hear over 2,000 years ago. But the angel standing in awe again, in awe of God, and saying, "The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who shines like the sun in all its glory, our eternal God who's from everlasting to everlasting, the one to whom all glory and all honor is due, the one nobody could look at lest they die because of the brilliance of his glory, the one who is perfectly holy and righteous in all his ways, the one who is all-powerful and all-knowing, the creator of all things, the one of whose kingdom there shall be no end, the one in whom this angel surely had looked upon and just thought, there is none like him in all of this universe, and the one that this angel for his entire lifetime has just gazed upon and looked upon and found joy in and just was in awe of him from the foundation. And now this angel is looking and saying, Christ the Lord will be placed in the womb of this little girl, of this young teenage girl. Christ the Lord will be placed in her. And in his mind, it's just, who is like God that he is going to do something like this? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he's called. He is about to display the greatness of his grace for us in that Christ is coming. Can you see it? As you see all the glory of Christ and his greatness, can you see why it is right and it is good to fear not and to rejoice and to stand in awe of our God and to worship such a God with everything that is within us? In verse 34, it says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and he said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.'" That's the response of the angel as to, is, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. How is it possible that this could ever take place? And the angel says, "Holy Spirit, I come upon you. The power of the highest one, the power of God Almighty is going to overshadow you. And the one born is going to be called the Son of God." You see, with God, nothing will be impossible. Incredible when you think about the character, the power of Almighty God. The angel looking and knowing God, having seen God in all of history, and looking and saying, "Mary, you got to understand, with God, nothing's impossible. He is sovereign. He is in control of everything. He does whatever he wills to do, both in heaven and on earth. There's nothing too hard for him. With God, nothing will be impossible." I pray that we would respond that way as well this morning. Standing in awe of God and saying, he's sovereign. Nothing's too hard for him. With God, nothing will be impossible. It will make you stand in awe of him. I love the fact that this angel, having known God, just looks and says, there's nothing impossible for him. Does whatever he desires to do. In your lives this morning, whatever trials there are, whatever difficulties there might be, whatever stresses and worries there are, what a joy it is to know that the same message is there for us this morning. With God, nothing will be impossible. In verse 38, it says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Elizabeth spoke with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. What an amazing picture. You see God working in the heart of this unborn little fetus, John the Baptist. I mean, at a point where he's still in his mother's womb, Mary enters into the house of John the Baptist's mother and father, and as she greets Elizabeth, God had so worked in the heart of John the Baptist that he literally just leaps for joy inside his mother's womb. It's a proper response. In anticipation of Christmas, while yet unborn, John the Baptist is leaping for joy. Fearing not. Standing in awe, rejoicing. It's the proper response. Even for a baby, even a baby in his mother's womb knows that the right response to the glory of Christmas, to the glory of what Christ has done, to the glory of the great love in which the Father has loved us, is to leap for joy. John the Baptist didn't understand the extent of what was going to occur after that and what that meant for him. He doesn't see the depths of his sin while he's in his mother's womb, but we, this morning, understand it. We understand what it is that we've been saved from. We're able to look in Scripture and see what it is that's in store for us. Glory, infinite joy, joy everlasting. Life abundant, adoption into God's kingdom. We understand what it is that has been given us, this gift of salvation to those who are worthy of nothing but damnation, and God has done this for us. And if John the Baptist is willing to leap for joy in his mother's womb, just even at the presence of Christ in that room, how much more should it be within God's people, saved by grace, who understand these things, to spend this Christmas with smiles on our faces and joy inexpressible and full of glory, and that we, as believers, have been recipients of the grace of God. Mary says in her response, "My soul magnifies the Lord." In verse 46, Mary responds to the thought of the birth of Christ with worship. She sees what God is doing and has great thoughts of God. Her soul magnifies him. There's a standing of awe and worship that's taken place. She recognizes that with God, nothing will be impossible. She recognizes that the child in her womb will be called the Son of God. He'll have the throne of David, and he'll reign as king forever and ever. Mary's called blessed, but with her praise and adoration, it's fully directed to her God and her Savior. You could tell that she is even thinking about this. My soul, it magnifies the Lord because of what he's done. And she says, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. There is worship and there is rejoicing that takes place. They go together all the time. They ought to go together. Worshiping and rejoicing. First see worship. And then springing forth from that worship is rejoicing. And then she breaks out into a song of praise. Let's look at verse 48. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Now, as we read this, notice that over eight times, what she's saying is, and this is what God did for me. Mary is saying, this is what he has done. Eight times, this is what he has done. Over 15 times in this particular section, there are quotations or references to the Old Testament. This is someone that understands who God is. Someone who is a worshiper of God, but she comes to a point of, my soul magnifies him. I'm rejoicing in him. Look at what he's done. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In Mary's mind, she breaks out into praise as far as, look at what God has done. I'm lowly, and yet he's raised me up. He has blessed me. I don't have money, and yet look at what he has done for me. He has made me rich. I look at the character of my God. Those that are hungry, he's filled. He has filled me. He's remembered his mercy that he said would come upon Israel. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed, and that promise that he has given, that promise of God's blessing and his covenant upon Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their seed and all of the generations that would come from him. Mary is saying, he's remembered it. And it causes praise and rejoicing and a standing in awe of the character of our God. Look to chapter 2 with me now, in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A passage that's familiar to all of us here, but glorious. God orchestrating all of the events, orchestrating that there was going to be the census that took place where everybody had to go to their own city to be registered because he was to be called a Nazarene, but he was to be born in Bethlehem. God orchestrating all of the events, working all of these things out, and bringing Christ into the world. But even orchestrating the events that there would be no room for him in the inn, orchestrating the events that he'd be born there in a stable, placed there in a manger, no one there to help with the delivery, no doctors, no one there to come and be there apart from Mary and Joseph and all that's occurring here. Look at this, and it's the character of your God. The character of your God is one that he became the least of all men. He came not in a castle, but was placed in a manger. Placed there in a feeding trough with hay and such things. I look and we gauge hospitals that we want to go to here based on whether we get our own room. And there's special incubators, and there is nurses. There was, when Tasha was delivering Jonathan, the nurse had said, I need help in here. Her blood pressure was going down. There was doctors and nurses, 8 people rushed in the room within 20 seconds to help. Monitoring him, doing everything that needed to happen. And I'm sitting there like, say something. What is going on? But looking and seeing, I mean, literally within just a few seconds, 8 people in there. Boom. They're helping. I couldn't even imagine having Tasha give birth inside of a stable and then taking him out and saying, let's put him in this manger that the animals have been feeding from. And yet you see the character of your God. In verse 8, it says, "Now there are in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" Shepherds. Shepherds were people that couldn't even go into the temple to worship because they were unclean, ceremonially unclean. They were those that had kind of the least of all jobs in that particular day. And who does God desire to have be the first ones to know? It's not the leaders. It's not the wealthiest. It's these men that are out there in the field, and you can just imagine the glory of the Lord going before them, and they're scared. I mean, we have little angels on our Christmas trees, and there's chubby little babies that are there, and you think, oh, how cute. No, people, they would wet their pants if they saw him in all of their glory. It wasn't something where it was just like, oh, how cute. No, these guys, they're scared to death. They're looking and saying, it is this glorious being that is here, but we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and what's taking place? And the angel says, don't be afraid. It's the same thing again. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, behold, stand in awe of him. Don't be afraid, rather, stand in awe of him. Behold, look upon it, because I bring you good tidings of great joy. Fear not, stand in awe of him, rejoice. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. What does that mean to us this morning? A Savior. Someone who saves us from eternity and hell was born on that Christmas morning. Good tidings of great joy. In verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.'" Worship. Once again, we come right back to worship. There's this multitude of heavenly hosts praising him. Can you imagine? The shepherds are hearing these things take place, and then all of a sudden, it's not just the one angel, but it is a multitude. All of these angelic beings that are there, and they see all that has occurred. They look at Christmas, and it is a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God in the highest. That is where our hearts are to be this morning and throughout all of Christmas. Glory to God. All the glory, all the glory, all of the honor, it all goes to God. It's not based upon my good works. It's not based upon how well I've performed. It's based upon God's grace. My salvation is due totally to him. You see, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we look at this and we think, the glory, it all goes to him. All the glory goes to him. And the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine just hearing that praise and adoration? Glory to God in the highest. And yet, he did not come to die for their sins. You see, he came to die for our sins. How much more ought we to be saying, glory to God in the highest. I praise him. I worship him in spirit and in truth and with all that is within me. He is worthy of such praise. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, They made widely known the sayings which were told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. How do the shepherds respond? Well, they go, what has God made known to us? Let's go see it. Let's go see this thing that God has made known to us. God has made known to you here this morning his plan of salvation. The shepherd's response is, let's go and tell everybody about it. Their act of worship continues with, let's tell people, let's tell everybody, let's tell everybody as far as the greatness of our God and what he has done. Let's make this widely known as far as this thing concerning Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who has come. And everybody that heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Evangelism. It's just taking place. For how could we understand such things, know such things? How could we be in a place where we say, okay, I don't have to fear. I stand in awe of him. I rejoice in him and I worship. I do these things. How could we do that without going and saying, behold your God, this is who he is, and make widely known these incredible things that we have learned with reference to Christ? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I pray that would be us as well. That you wouldn't leave this place and think, okay, let's go shopping. We got so much to do. Get caught up with what you're going to eat and who you're going to visit and all of these things without taking time to just ponder these things in your heart. He has made it so you don't have to fear. He has made it so you can see him and stand in awe of him. He's made it so that you can have joy, rejoicing, joy inexpressible, full of glory, and he has made it so you've known him in such a way that you can worship him. This morning we will sing three songs as we close, and it will be worship unto him, praise unto him, for he has made these things known to you. When the shepherds returned, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We know more than they know. We know more now than they ever possibly could have known at that particular time. Glorifying and praising God, I pray that as a church, Christmas would not be just a holiday. It would be a time of pondering these things in our hearts, that we see that there's nothing that we have to fear. If God is for us, who could be against us? We can stand in awe of him. Regardless of your circumstances, there can be rejoicing that takes place within your heart, and praise that no one else in this world knows apart from the believer. Praise that is directed to a God that we know and that we love. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are thankful for Christmas. We're thankful for your grace that has been displayed for us, the exceeding greatness of your grace that we can be in a place this morning of saying, all glory is to God in the highest. You've done it all. You're worthy of all praise and all adoration. Lord, you've done these things. We did nothing to merit you sending your son. And yet, with the great love with which you've loved us, you've done these things and you've made these things known to us that we might be called your children. Help us over Christmas to praise your grace, to be thankful, to rejoice, to stand in awe of you, to be content in you. And that if anybody ever were to ask us, how was your Christmas? Pray that our response was, it was glorious. For we know what it is all about, and it makes us rejoice with joy inexpressible. Lord, as you are here in our midst, may you be exalted through the praises of your people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.